Welcome to the Ed Newsstand Podcast. I'm your host, Troy Reynolds. This is Season 4, Episode 28 of the podcast. The topic of this week's newsletter is Google Classroom Spring Cleaning. With only a couple weeks left in the school year, it's time to plan your course of action with Google Classroom once the school year is over. For this episode, I looked over resources by Eric Kurtz from Control-Alt-Achieve, Casey Bell from ShakeUp Learning, Alice Keeler, and Matt Miller from Ditch That Textbook. What I developed were two different lists. The first list is six steps everyone had on their list for Google Classroom cleanup at the end of the year. The second list was six more ideas to also consider when cleaning up your Google Classroom. And we've got a lot to get to, so let's not waste any more time. Let's dive in. In preparation for the end of the school year, I want to take a look at some Google Classroom spring cleaning ideas. I looked at five different websites and came up with two different lists. One I'm calling the Agreed Upon Ideas for Google Classroom Cleanup, and the other I'm calling Unique Ideas for Google Classroom Cleanup. So the one, after I looked at Eric Kurtz on his website Control-Alt-Delete, he has a 23-minute video and a blog post with screenshots. Then I looked at Casey Bell and ShakeUp Learning. She has a 31-minute audio podcast, blog post, screenshots, and GIFs. Then I watched an hour-long video from Alice Keeler on the Otis for Educators website. And if you do watch that 52-minute video, you will get a certificate of completion to put toward your continuing ed credits to renew your license. Then I looked at Matt Miller at Ditch That Textbook. He has a blog post. And finally, I watched a 5-minute video on Google Workspace from Shannon Moore. After I watched and read all of those articles and videos, that is how I came up with these two lists. So I want to go through each idea individually and kind of demonstrate to you what the ideas are and how you can utilize them. Before I do that though, I want to show you each website that I found the information on. So if you want to check that out yourself, you certainly can do that. Each image on the newsletter this week is a link back to their blog post or the video so you can research that information yourself. This is Eric Kurtz's blog post. Like I mentioned before, he has a short video and a podcast. The video is linked right in the blog post. As you scroll through and see the different tips, he has screenshots of how to do all of the different tips that he talks about. This is the link to Casey Bell and her ShakeUp Learning. You can see as you scroll through, here is a link right embedded in her website to the post about cleaning up your Google Classroom. And as you scroll through here, you'll see her different tips. And then she has screenshots and GIFs for several of the tips. Alice Keeler's blog is a little less intense. She does not have much information, but she does have a link to that Otis video. And if you head to the Otis website and sign up for a free account, you can watch this 52-minute video for free. This is Matt Miller's website on Ditch That Textbook. As you can see here, 10 easy ways to clean up your Google Classroom. And as you scroll through here, he gives a little bit more description about each of his tips. Let's get into the top six agreed upon ideas for cleaning up your Google Classroom. The first one is to return all student work. When you're in your Google Classroom, just head to the Grades tab. When you're in the Grades tab, you can hover over the assignment, click on the what I call the snowman, and the option that you have here is to return all. You'll get a pop-up that will say students will be notified and can check any grade that you've left, and then you can just return this assignment to all students. The reason you want to return all of the assignments to the students is because then you are not the owner of that assignment anymore. Because once the students turn in that assignment, you become the owner. When you return it back to the student, you are no longer the owner. The student is now the owner of that assignment again. After you have returned all of the assignments to the students, you want to unenroll your students. So to do that, you go to the People tab. Once on the People tab, you click the box at the top of the Student tab, then choose Action and choose Remove. You'll get a pop-up. Are you sure you want to remove the students from this class? Yes, because now the quarter or the semester is over. The students can no longer turn in the assignments and you don't need to be receiving notifications or emails or anything throughout the summer with students trying to return information. Plus, once you have returned everything and unenrolled your students, now you can easily move to the next step. The next step after you have removed all of your students is to archive your class. The way that you do that is you go to the hamburger in the top left corner, then you go to your dashboard, so I click on classes at the very top, then you will see a list of all of the classes listed in your dashboard. On your class, in the top right-hand corner of that class is the snowman. Click on the snowman and then choose archive. You'll get a pop-up. Archiving the class causes this to be archived for all participants. That is the reason that we have removed all the students. We don't want the students to still see this class show up in their dashboard. So if we remove it, Then they don't have to worry about this anymore, and it is removed from their dashboard. They are removed from the class, and then you are removing it from your dashboard. Now that you have returned all the assignments, removed all the students, archived the class, the next step is for you to remove the Google Classroom from your Google Calendar. I'm in my Google Calendar. Along the left-hand side, you will see all of your different calendars. You have your personal calendar, birthdays, and then any of the calendars available from your Google Classroom. So you'll see I have the generic class. If you want to remove this class from your Google Calendar, again, hover over the class, choose the snowman icon, and then you have two options. You can choose to hide from your list, which means it will just get rid of this from your list completely instead of unchecking it. If you uncheck it, it will still show up on the left-hand side. But if you hide it from the list, then you won't see it on your list anymore. If you want to go one step further and delete it, that's kind of what I would recommend. So you go to settings and sharing, then you scroll all the way to the bottom of the class, and you will see at the bottom it says this calendar will be permanently erased. Nobody will be able to use it anymore. And you can choose delete. Once you do that, you'll get a little pop-up that says you are about to permanently delete this class for everyone who uses it. Do you wish to continue? And I'm just going to say permanently delete. Now the calendar has been removed completely from my Google Calendar. I have deleted it totally. I have not hidden it. I have not unchecked it. It is totally gone. Now that I have removed the class from my Google Calendar, the next thing is I need to move the folder from my classroom folder in my Google Classroom. I'm going to put it in an archived folder in my Google Drive so that it is totally out of my Google Classroom folder. When you're in your Google Drive, you will see a folder called Classroom. Under no circumstance are you to delete this folder. It is created by Google for Google Classroom, so anytime that you create a new class in Google Classroom, it automatically creates a folder in this folder itself and organizes your class in that folder. So it has its own structure the way that it's created. If you delete the Google Classroom folder, it will probably very much mess up your Google Classroom moving forward. So do not delete this folder. You can move some of the folders inside this folder, but I would only do that after you have completely archived your class. I would not do it during the school year whatsoever. So here's how this works. Go into your Classroom folder, and then you are going to find the class that you just archived. One issue that I have here is that I do not have a folder called generic class, which I thought I did. But that's okay because you can easily find that folder again. When you're in Google Classroom, let's say I need to find that folder for that generic class. I'm going to go back to my archived classes. Here is that generic class that I archived. I'm going to click on the class. I don't want to restore it. I'm just going to leave it here archived. I'm going to go to my classwork page. Then right up here, I have a link to my class drive folder. I'm going to click on that. It takes me directly to this Google Drive folder. So you can see at some point I called it Synergy Class. So it's under my classroom folder called Synergy Class. This is how I'm going to move it. In my drive, I'm just going to create a new folder called Archived Classes. Go up to New, click Folder. I've now created a folder called Archived Classes. I also want to make sure that I can find this folder very easily, so I'm going to change the color. Let's change the color to this teal color. I just right click and choose any color that is available for me. So now I have created an Archived Classes folder and I have color coded it for it so it's easier for me to find. Now if I go back to that Synergy folder, so I'm in my Classroom folder, here's that Synergy class. I can take this and I can right click, I can move to, and I'm just going to move it to the Archived Classes folder. And now it is moved out of my Google Classroom folder and it is in my Archived Classes folder. So I don't lose access to any of those items in there, but now I have moved it out to clean up my Google Classroom. Now that I have moved the Archived Class out of the Classroom folder into a new archive folder, the last thing I need to do is I need to remove any files that have been shared with me throughout the quarter, semester, or school year. The way I do that is on the left-hand side, I click on the Shared With Me tab, and then I can just go through and I can choose the files that have been shared with me and I can remove them. I can do them one at a time, so I can click on the one item, I can click the trash can, and I can just remove. If I need to do more, I can click on one, I can hold the Shift key, and then it will highlight a group. If I want to do individual files, I can hold one, I can hold the control or the command button down, and then I can just click on multiple items and then click the trash can. Many different ways that you can remove items from the Shared With Me files, make sure that you are not the owner of that, or you do not share ownership with someone else. Make sure that you are clearly not the owner, because if you delete it, it's going to be gone in your trash. So make sure, so you can see here, this task challenges, I'm an owner on another account. So make sure that you know who the owner is before you are just deleting it, because if it is a student's assignment and you are still the owner and you delete it, it's going to be gone forever. So make sure that you look at the shared with me before you remove it. Those are the six, I would say, agreed upon items for Google Classroom cleanup at the end of the school year. Again, return all student work, unenroll students from old classes, archive the old class, remove the old class calendar, move old classes from the Google Classroom folder, and then remove old class files from Shared With Me in Drive. Now that we have the agreed upon ideas out of the way, let's talk about some other unique ideas for cleaning up your Google Classroom. The first one I think is very important, and I don't know that we use and take enough time for this, and that is to reflect upon the year. How did it go, you working within your Google Classroom? Did you like the layout? Did you like the setup? Did you like how you created assignments? Did you like how you named them? Were students able to find the assignments easy? Were you able to find the assignments easy? Think about and reflect upon all of these ideas and how you laid out your Google Classroom. Were you consistently using it? All of these different things that you have to think about throughout the year, how did it work? Write down some ideas on what worked well, what didn't work well, so that you can change those things for next year. Item number two is to set up a class template for next year. So everybody who talked about this, creating a class template, all agreed not to copy your Google Classroom from one year to the next. It can create some confusion in your Google Classroom folder if you have the class named similarly every year, because you're not going to get probably the section name showing up. You're going to get the same class showing up year after year with the same name, and it's going to be hard to find the class you're looking for. What they recommend is setting up a class template. Casey Bell from Shake Up Learning actually has a blog article on this idea. If you click on the link called Class Template, you can read through her article here on how to create a class template, and it's very good. And I have talked about this in other blog posts, how to organize your Google Classroom at the beginning of the year. You can go back and look at some of the newsletters and some of the ideas that I found from other users of Google Classroom. But think about your title, think about your section, your description, the course subjects, the topics, all how you were laying out the posts with the assignments and the questions, all of these different ideas. So if you want to know how to set up a class template, something that you can use year after year, I would definitely look at creating your own class template. And the great thing about creating a class template then is you can just copy that template year after year and rename it, and then you can have different markers in your Google Classroom every year, and it makes organization that much easier. Because you have reflected and because you've thought of a class template, there are a couple of things that you can do. One, you don't need all of the resources and assignments that you created. So think about what you have created. If throughout the school year, students have created some amazing resources, I would recommend while you are thinking about it and while you are doing it, to move out those students or make a copy of those students' exemplary assignments so you can show those and demonstrate those to students the next year. It's easier to kind of do it on the fly and think, oh, that student made an amazing assignment. I want to show this to kids next year. Just make a copy of the assignment and then return the assignment to the student. Next, move out any teacher files that you want to use year after year. And one thing that is recommended is to star your original file. So if you have something that you love, give it a star. And you can do that in the name, or you can do it in the assignment itself. When you are creating these assignments, you have them here in your Google Classroom. Now, if you really like them, you can rename them and put a star in it. So I can just highlight it, I can click N, and I can put a star on this, and that tells me that this is something that I liked. The other thing you can do is you can add a star to the item, so I can add it to starred so you can see that it has a star here. This might be easier for you to find. If you star everything, it kind of puts it to the top, but if you add a little star on the right hand side, then you can go to the item that is called starred, and when you do that, you'll see all of your starred items show up. So there's a couple of different ways that you can star your exemplary assignments that you're giving out to students. You can either star it specifically so it has a star on the right hand side, or you can give it a star on the left hand side, or you can maybe even give it an emoji if you wanted to do that as well to make it easier to find. Next, don't make a copy of your Google form. What you want to do is you want to reset your Google form and use that same form the next year. That way you don't have to reattach it a new Google Form to your assignment. If you are reusing the assignment, you can just use the same Google Form. And if you've never done that, let me show you how that works. When you're in your Google Form, if you go to the Responses tab, over on the right-hand side next to the Google spreadsheet icon is the snowman. If you click on the snowman, you can download all of your responses as a CSV. You can also generate your own spreadsheet. So if you don't do that, it's something easy that you can do. You just click on the spreadsheet and it will create a spreadsheet right in your Google Drive. When you have done both of those on the snowman, at the bottom, the last choice is to delete all responses. If you click on delete all responses, it will say, are you sure you want to delete all the responses? The action cannot be undone. You can say yes because you have already either downloaded the CSV file or you have created your own Google Sheet. I'm going to say okay. Now all of the responses have been deleted and I can just go ahead and use this Google Form again next year. I don't have to copy it. I don't have to recreate it. I don't have to add it again to my assignment. It's already ready to go for the next year. The next thing you can do is you can export all of your records to a Google spreadsheet. So when you are in your Google Classroom, if you want to take your assignments and you want to export all of your grades from your Google Classroom, you can do that to a Google Sheet. When you are in your Google Classroom, go to the Classwork tab, then just find any assignment, click on the View Assignment, then in the top right-hand corner is the gear icon. You're going to click on the gear icon and you have a few choices. You can copy all grades to Google Sheets, download all grades as a CSV, or download these grades for that specific assignment as a CSV. If I want all of the grades in my gradebook, I'm going to copy all grades to Google Sheets. That means I'm going to get all of my grades onto a Google spreadsheet, and then I'm free to delete all student work, archive my class, because I have a copy of that gradebook. A quick, simple way for you to have a backup of your gradebook for your students just hanging out in your Google Drive. The last unique idea for cleaning up your Google Classroom is to create a sandbox class. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, didn't you already tell me to create a class template? I did. This is a little bit different. So a sandbox class would be something that you would create amongst your grade level so that all of your teachers, let's say you teach fourth grade, or let's say there are three or four teachers in your high school teaching middle school, seventh grade English or something. If you have multiple people teaching the same grade level, if you create a sandbox class, then you can create one generic class and you can add all of the teachers to that sandbox class and you can put assignments, you can share assignments in that sandbox class that you can then reuse out to your current class that you use with your students. So the sandbox class is like a template that you are creating, but it is a template that multiple teachers are putting resources into. Because you can reuse your assignments, it's very easy then for you in that sandbox class to share assignments and resources with your other team members and then reuse those assignments out to your current class that you might have with your students. So that is something that I would definitely recommend, is creating a sandbox class if you are working with multiple teachers in your team across your grade level or across your subject area. So there's a lot to think about this week when cleaning up your Google Classroom. I would definitely do the 6 agreed upon ideas for your Google Classroom cleanup. And then think about, as you're moving into the summer, some of the other more unique ideas for your Google Classroom cleanup and see how you can use those in the upcoming years. That's it for this episode of the Ed Newsstand Podcast. I really appreciate you listening to the podcast or watching the video version on YouTube, because I know your time is valuable. Please check out the Google Classroom Spring Cleaning resources from Eric Kurtz at Control-Alt-Achieve, Casey Bell at ShakeUp Learning, Alice Keeler and her collaboration with Otis for Educators, Matt Miller at Ditch That Textbook, and Shannon Moore's collaboration with Google Workspace, the video that you can watch on YouTube. For more EdTech resources, you can follow me on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at Reynolds Troy, on Instagram and TikTok at Ed Newsstand. If you're listening on any podcast platform and would like to hear more, please like and subscribe to receive updates and have any new episode automatically downloaded for you. You can also revisit my previous episodes on any major podcasting platform like Spotify, Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Google Podcasts. You can also check out the video version of my podcast over on my YouTube channel and check out any of the other video resources I have available. If you'd like to download my app to have my podcast and newsletters right on your smart device, please check it out at ednewsstand.glideapp.io and save it to your home screen. If you don't want the app but would like to check out my resources, please visit my website at ednewsstand.weebly.com. This is Troy Reynolds, and this is the Ed Newsstand Podcast. hoping you were able to take away at least one idea for your classroom. Please be safe. Until next time.